Good morning, Calvary Baptist. How's everybody doing today? Good? Good. Okay, so, Lou, I'll just have you put that up there. It looks like the concert here last Sunday was a big success, and so they've got a little clip here for us to watch. If you look real hard, you can see the people in there singing. No ice cream pictures? Okay. I'll send you a picture tonight. I eat it every night. All right, then birthdays. On the 24th, we've got Angie Snyder. And on the 25th, we've got Michaela Case. And she informed me that if you'd like to get her a gift, gummy nerd clusters. Okay, so it's a candy. I've never heard of it, so I don't know. This upcoming Saturday, the 9th, or no, that's... Not this upcoming Saturday. September 9th, Labor Day weekend, the Men's Brotherhood will be meeting again. If you're new here, on this little handout, there's a list of Sunday events that everything we do each Sunday. We still have our Young Adult Bible Study that meets at 3:45 every Sunday. So, you know, you don't have to be a part of this church. We've got actually the majority of the people who come are not from our church. So if you know any young adults, and our young adult is pretty inclusive, we're talking 18 to 50. So it's if you know anybody that's looking for a Bible study, that is open. I think that's it here. Let's go ahead and say a prayer, and then music can get started. Dear God, as always, we just pray and we thank you for bringing us here this Sunday morning, just giving us the opportunity to be in community with one another. I know right now that's particularly important. I think a lot of people that I run into, I notice, seem to think that Christianity is something that we can do on our own, and I know that's not the case, that you want us as brothers and sisters meeting as frequently as possible so that we can build up one another and edify each other. And we just pray that that would happen here every Sunday morning and as part of our groups, whether it's the Brotherhood, the women's ministry, our Bible study, God, we just pray that we would be following the blueprint that you laid out and that you would desire from your people. We pray that you guide Pastor Mike this morning as he delivers his message, and that we would all have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that your Spirit would lead us in understanding the Word. And we just pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you all to stand.
Great is the Lord, he is holy and just, by his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true, by his mercy he proves his love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise, great is the Lord. Now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, he is holy and just, by his power we trust in his love. See, he proves his love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, I
Please stand.
Worship the King of glories above, and gratefully
Thank you for leading us this morning. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read a verse from Isaiah 40, verse 8. I don't know if I've told you that, Lou, or not, but anyway, this is just the text from which everything we should do and do unto the Lord should be this kind of understanding of who we are and what we are. We're Bible people. Isaiah chapter 40 tells us the grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God stands forever. When we are standing on this word, we're standing on truth. It will not move. It's unshakable. But that's just the beginning here. Oh, that's cool. I want you to look at the back here. Your bulletin this morning, and see that there are a whole bunch of names there, and I want to speak just a little bit about Todd. He's in the hospital. He's over there at Parkview Randalia, and they're taking care of him, and he has 5 blood clots in his left leg, and it's a serious infection, so we would appreciate your prayers there. Andrew is our grandson. Grayson is our grandson. He's here somewhere hiding probably. And then Lynn, and then Kyle, and Bob Jackson. Constance is here this morning. We thank you for that. Rick is here this morning. Rick's over here. You changed on me, Rick. Nick and Joy Kappelman, their family. Bert Ladd. Bert's here this morning, and we're glad to see her as well. Down there, Natalie DeWitt and Mitch Vondiger, Tom Beachy, Tom's there, back there, okay, and Becky Digman. There's other names on that, but those are mostly here this morning. Pray, Father, let's pray with them and for them. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. You speak to us through your word. It is the foundation upon which we stand, and everything that we know about that's worthy, anything that's of worth, is founded on your word. It's unchangeable. It will never surrender to any kind of strain or policy changes or whatever they might come up with and various sundry notions around the world. You're still God, and we want to praise you for that. We want to lift up Jesus' name here this morning. So we pray, Father God, that you will speak through what I'm saying this day. Hide me. Let your word come through, and let it be precise. Let it speak to our hearts. Lord, for those that we spoke about a momentary ago, we pray that you'd work in each and every life. All those lives are precious unto you, and we pray, Father, that you'll work with them and strengthen them and make them whole again, if that's the need. So, Father, we just ask you to be with us now as we are here to worship you in spirit and in truth. For these things we ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So now, if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 18, and starting in verse 15. And this is a very familiar passage, I'm sure. It says in verse 15, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Father, we ask you to open our hearts to that word this morning. The passage that we're looking at here is actually a passage that's very famous because artists have chosen to depict it in paintings. It's kind of like the picture of Jesus you see everywhere. Somebody has laid that blueprint out, and they've just made it. Listen, nobody knows what Jesus looked like, at least living here today. But nevertheless, this particular passage is one of those that artists have taken under their hand and have put the Lord Jesus in the midst of children, probably sitting on a rock. The one I see mostly is that Jesus is sitting on a rock, and he's surrounded by all these children, school-age children. But that's not the scene that the Bible tells us about, actually. The Scripture says to us a little bit different. Instead, Jesus is being besieged by these mothers and children, their parents, bringing their infants, the Scripture says. What's an infant? That's a baby. The mothers are bringing their babies in their arms, and they're trying to get over to Jesus, that Jesus might touch them. So they were thrusting forward their children to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he just might somehow or another touch them. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? You think about the urgency and the faith that these women were showing. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just have him touch my child, what a wonderful thing that would be. And that should be our desire. If we can just get to Jesus and get a fresh touch from him, good things will happen. So the word here in this passage in verse 8, Luke 18, 15, is infants. And it's the same word that Peter uses over in 1 Peter as it says newborn babes. So these are little fellows. Desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow by. These children were presented to Jesus, and they were babies. The popular view of infants in the Greco-Roman world was that they were not worth anything. We must be getting more Greco-Roman all the time, huh? At this time, there was a high mortality rate of children. And so if you invest all kinds of time and energy in these children, they die on you, then you've wasted your time. So don't do that. Let them get bigger a little bit, and then they're worth something. They can help around the farm if they're, many, many years ago, farm families, if they had some boys or something like that, they were out there to help milk the cows, feed the chickens, and all that kind of. Everybody had a job to do, and so they contributed something to the economy of the family. So older children could do that. Infants couldn't. Infants monopolized the mother's time and others' time. And they required much care. So, as we have seen here in this last week, infanticide and child abandonment was rampant in the ancient world because they did not think that they were worth much. If they could get to be that big, okay, fine. But in the interim, they were just a drag on you. Just the opposite, of course, is true. And we see that in our society, both with infants and old people. Babies are not worth anything. We can just abort them babies drinking a soda at the McDonald's or something. It doesn't make any difference. And some of you folks out here, some of you guys got white hair. You're not worth anything either. Do you know that? Yeah, you're getting older. Somebody's going to try to have to help you a little bit and all those kinds of things. So our society has adopted both of those things. But it's that this the worth of the individual was predicated on what they could do for you. So babies couldn't do a whole lot for them. Older folks can't do a whole lot. And so abortion was rampant. The neglect of elder people. All of these things were very acceptable in those days, and they're becoming more and more acceptable in our society today. That's not the American way I was taught about things. How about you? Somehow or another, even in my family, there came across some kind of respect for life, that babies are precious, that old people are worth something. You love them. You help them. You do what you can for them. So the value of human life is very, very important. What is our concept of the value of human life? What is that? The Bible says, and we saw it last Sunday, that every individual life has great value because every individual life is made in the image of God. Argument over, settled. You're made in the image of God. If you're made in the image of God, you're precious unto God, which you should be precious unto us. And because we were once a very biblical society, we thought that too. But there's becoming a very different understanding, isn't it? Now listen, they saw the crowds of parents coming and bringing babies, infants, to Jesus. And they, who rebuked them? The disciples. You know, they may have been thinking the same thing. Not worth much. You know, Jesus doesn't need to fiddle around with these babies. He's got a lot of stuff to do, you know. He can't drain his energies. He's a busy man. He's got to preach. He's got to teach. The principles of the kingdom are things that we need to learn. He was busy healing people, touching people. Jesus just didn't need to be barraged with these women. So the disciples scolded them. I think we might say, and Jesus turned around and scolded the disciples. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Don't even think about not making them to come. For such is the kingdom of God. You know, some Greek scholars say that the text here implies that Jesus was indignant. And I'm not sure about all those kind of things. We'll give that to Taylor, and next week he can see and do the research on that, and he can raise his hand if it's true, and if I'm over-exaggerating, left hand or whatever. But that's what I understood from my readings, that this meant that Jesus was indignant. I think he probably was. Why? Because all people have worth. Can we not get that through our thick skulls? Babies have worth. Children have worth. Teenagers have worth. Adults have worth. Elderly people have. People who cannot hear have worth. People who cannot speak have worth. People who need a hand up have worth. People who need assistance have worth. That's why we set up a society in which we function still yet even today. Everybody, every human being is made in the image of God. Babies, old folks, black folks, red folks, smart folks, dumb folks. All people are precious to the Lord. The Gospel of Mark gives us another bit of information, a little tiny detail here that I found to be very interesting as I was studying this week. It says, in his arms he took them and blessed them and laid his hands on them. So I don't know. You know, I wasn't there. We don't have a Polaroid picture of that. But I think that this is what I would think Jesus did. When these mothers came, they brought these babies and they gave them to him. He took them in his hands like this. That's how you hold a baby. You hold them. You make that protective shield around them. You hold them like that. You embrace them that way. And he blessed them. So he drew them unto himself in that most loving picture that we could possibly think about, in the sense of holding those babies. Over in Genesis 27, Isaac, it tells us, blessed Jacob by laying his hands on him. Now, how did he do that? You know, did he like that? I don't know. But he laid his hands on Jacob. Genesis 48 tells us that Jacob then blessed Ephraim and Manasseh by crossing his hands over them. Mark tells us that Jesus took these infants and embraced them and cradled them in his arms. You see, the disciples should have recognized that this was important to Jesus. Over in Joel chapter 2, it warns the people of God, blow a trumpet of Zion, concentrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people together, consecrate the congregations, assemble the elderly, assemble the children, assemble even the nursing infants. Assemble the people of God. Bring them all in. Don't neglect anyone. Never think that God Almighty doesn't notice how we treat each other, how we treat our children, how we treat our elderly. It's very, very important for us to understand that. It may be the first principle of blessing from God, how we treat others. Joel considered all these people, children, nursing babies, to being called for that solemn assembly. Over in Exodus chapter 12, it further supports this, because during the Passover, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 26, it says, and when your children say to you, they're going to celebrate the Passover. So when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Then you shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared not their houses. So Exodus tells us that they were supposed to pass on this tradition of celebrating, understanding the most significant event in the life of history of Israel was the Passover. They were in slavery in Egypt, but God sent the death angel and passed over. Had to have the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, didn't it? Now, I don't know this. I just kind of surmise this, and you can take this and deduct that off my good rating of the sermon this morning or something. That I think if you were an Israelite and you didn't obey, your child died too. Your firstborn died too. Because the blood and the was not on the doorposts and lintels, the death angel would not pass over your house then. He would take that child. Children have always been important in the life and the community of biblical people, protecting them and passing on those principles to them. Friends, the devil realizes that this is even true today. This is the reason why the devil doesn't want us to gather together in some kind of Bible study, some kind of Sunday school. He doesn't want any vacation Bible schools. He doesn't want any of that kind of stuff, because you're going to open the Word. And you're going to teach adults, you're going to teach youth, you're going to teach children, and all that's very, very important. The godless do not want parents being notified of what's happening with their children in school. We've been hearing all that all the time lately, aren't we? What their children are being taught in school. Listen, if the parents don't have something to say about what the children are hearing in school and being taught, then we've lost it. We've lost it. Remember, not too many years back, Mrs. Clinton said, it takes a village. Sounds innocuous, doesn't it? But at the same time, there's all these kind of folks telling us that you had to have this group, this outside group of consultants to help you raise your children. The devil doesn't want us working on this particular line that children belong to their parents. The government of the United States doesn't have jurisdiction over your children. No. And we need to rise up and we should say no. Emphatically, without excuse, no. They're my children. And if I'm going to send them to this school, I want to have some say in what they're being taught. They're my children, and you have no right to hold back some kind of critical information for me because you think I'm not smart enough to handle it. No, you tell me. I hope that every one of these lawsuits that's going on all across America, I hope every one of them are resolved in that way. School boards, teachers, and all that stuff. Listen, they're not your children. You're just in charge to help them be able to grow. They're the parents. And the parents need to be told everything that they're doing, or not doing. Well, we've been chipping away at the foundations and all kinds of things. How precious are the children in the eyes of God Almighty? I can't even begin to say how precious they are. They need to be precious to us as parents. They need to be precious to us as a church. They need to be precious to us as a nation. And when it begins in the parents and the parents don't understand that they're precious to them, we're in trouble. If it spreads to the church, there's no hope. Because next is the society. We cannot give up or give out our responsibility of our children to a godless society, or we're going to reach the whirlwind. If we deserve anything in this country, it's because of what God blesses us with because of faithfulness unto Him. Over in Psalm 78, the psalmist says, in the first four verses, he said, "We will not hide them from our children." The principles, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, whom should arise and declare them to their children. It's be passed along. They might set the hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's the transmission of truth. Parents to children. Right on down. Jesus said over in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, he said, verily. Remember when we looked at that little word, verily? The Hebrew word there is amen. Verily, verily, or amen, amen. I always liked that joke where this lady sat down front, probably down there where Jim is sitting or something like that. When the preacher would get excited to talk about something, she'd say, amen. Preacher, amen, you know. Amen. And the deacon came up and patted her on the shoulder and said, man, listen, we don't do that here. She says, I got the Spirit. And he said, well, you didn't get him here. Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? That they should, if any place they were going to get the Spirit of God, it should be here, where the people of God assemble in the presence of God. God is here. Wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am in the name, in the midst of them. Did you realize that this morning? I think we're just so casual in all that we do and don't realize how important these things are. Verily, verily, Jesus said, except you be converted and become as what? Little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you have that unwavering, uncritical, open-eyed faith, you're not going to make it. Little children are models of mankind. They model behavior. They can model being human, trusting, tenderhearted, or loving, depending on how they're brought up. Little children give smiles freely. Don't you like that? I like that. Children are not guarded. They don't. You know, when you walk up to them and you're smiling at them. They're going to reach out to you, and they're going to give you that smile right back. It's natural. They're going to wave at you. I love it when the little kids just wave at you, and they're smiling. It's the tenderness that's there. We need that tenderness. Okay, well, let me give you four quick points. The Bible tells us over in Psalms 127:3, Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Children are a gift of God's grace sent from God Himself to you. God takes personal responsibility for the creation of every human life in the womb. Did you know that? Genesis 30, 17 says, God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob, the fifth son. Isn't that amazing? Genesis 33, 5 says, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God has graciously given unto thy servant. You see, he understood. These are gifts from God. And of course, you remember Abraham and Sarah, they were old, way past the age of most normal understanding of conception. But God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. They're going to be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. Only God could do that. And he did that. I remember one of the Russian czars asked one of the priests or the holy men or something, whatever those folks were, that consulted him. And he said, I'm having really trouble believing in God. There's such a state of being in our country and all those kind of things. How? Give me one good reason why I can believe in God. And the priest said, sir, the Jews. Yeah. People, different groups, different kind of programs have tried to wipe them out, haven't they? They're still here. Are there any here today? Are there any in our society today? There are, aren't they? They're here. They're all over the place. Praise God for that. Because they're walking testimonies to the power of God. I don't care how profane they are. They're still walking testimonies to the power of God. Generously given. Building your family is a legacy. It's a heritage. Your children will remember and talk of you long after you have gone. I hate to hear what they're going to say about me. But what will the children say about you? There is no pleasure in life that it can equal the pleasure of seeing and being a part of a children's life as they grow up. My wife asked me years and years ago when we had these two rascals about having another baby. You know what I should have said? Let's have a dozen. But I thought, well, we're having trouble getting food in Matthew's mouth. He's just like a bird. He's always... But I did suggest that if we had a girl, that would be cool. And I did suggest that I had been thinking about it, you see. Because the first thing that parents want to do is name their child, don't they? They're going to name their child. And I thought... And we talked about a little bit, I think some of her sisters and things like that. I talked a little bit about girls' names and things like that. And, you know, how they come up with all these names. And I thought, I got the perfect name. We're going to name this girl, if we have a girl baby, Heather Holly Honey Harris. 4-H. She's got a nickname right off the bat. I was going to bless her real good, you know. Obviously, that's probably what... wasn't why. But children, the Bible says, are like arrows. They need to be sharp and they need to be aimed. You know, I like to do archery and things like that. Archers spend a lot of time preparing their bow and their arrows. And they need to be sharpened. You have to watch for the fletches, the knocks, and all those kind of things. Our children are like that. They need us to prepare them, to make them, to help them be who they are. And children are the strength of the home. They reflect to us the things that are important. They generally love what we love. Todd doesn't do a lot of hunting, nor like a lot of hunting. He does like to fish. And that reflects his mother and him. He's tenderhearted. He's a loving man. Matt's more like me. It's not that he's not a loving man, but he likes to hunt and fish and do those kind of things, and I'm trying the best I can. Caleb's done broke away from the channel. He's out there playing the pianos and doing all this kind of stuff. You can't hardly get him in the tree with a gun or a bow or anything like that. He doesn't want to shoot these Bambis, you know. Shoot them, we'll eat them, we'll eat them. No, but anyway, but I still got Grayson, and Grayson's kind of liking that. And so anyway, these children, they reflect, and they're a blessing to us. Children are the hope of the future. Do you know that? Psalms 128, 24, 3 through 4 says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. Your sons will be like online shouts around the table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The vine is a symbol of charm and beauty and sexual allurement, all those kind of things in the Bible. And just the opposite of what Proverbs says in 7:11, she is loud, defiant, her feet never stay at home. There's some women like that. Young men, don't marry them. Find somebody else. That's going to be heartache for you. I don't care how beautiful she is. I don't care what color hair she's got, what color eyes she has, and all those kind of things. I'll never forget that. I should probably never say this. And there I go again. When I went to the SPs to get Sonia another base pass, the first thing the guy asked me about that, he said, how tall is she? Are you supposed to know that? I don't know. I'm not that tall. What? How's that? 5'7"? He said, well, okay. How much do you weigh? How much? I don't know how tall she is. I don't know. 100 pounds or something? I don't know. You know. Then he asked that terrible, terrible question, and she has implied that several times over the years. He says, what color of her eyes? Gee, am I supposed to know that? When I kiss her, I close my eyes, you know. What color are her eyes? Can you remember what I told him? Green. Yeah, it's close, isn't it? So when she goes back, make her stand at the door and look at that green-eyed woman when you go out. Her eyes are as blue can be. Friends, listen, happy families are possible even in our day and time if we honor the Word of God. God can take an idiot and change him around to be at least acceptable. There are six conclusions. First of all, children are a gift from God. I don't care what anybody says. If they don't think that, if I had a doctor that didn't believe that, I wouldn't go there. Children are a gift from God. God's blessings are available to anyone who seeks them. So even if you don't have children, they're still available. And recapturing the values of the family is what children can do. I think of my Grandma Key and my Grandpa Key. I don't know why, other than that's my mother's mom and dad. And so when my dad would go to Korea, he went there twice. He went to Japan once, Alaska. Every time he went remote someplace, we always went back to my grandmother's farm in Missouri. We didn't go to my grandfather's farm in Illinois. We went to their house. And my grandmother and my grandfather, precious people. My grandmother was so sweet. She smelled funny. Did you know that? She smelled funny. I don't know what that was, but probably some kind of powder or something she put on herself or something like that. But she was always very wise. I've told you about the time that my cousin and I decided to go to the creek when my grandma told us not to go. And, you know, we got in there. We took our clothes off so they wouldn't get wet. And we went down the creek, and snakes came down the creek. And we jumped up, and we ran back to the house. And we came into the house. We're naked. And my grandmother said, did you go swimming in the creek? No, 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 no. We didn't do that. No, 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 no. And then she asked that terrible cutting question, where are your clothes then? She's a very wise woman. Listen, those guys, they shape, our families shape us. And God help us that we be mothers and fathers that shape our children. God help us that we're grandmothers and grandparents, that we help shape those children. Because they're going to bless you and bless the world around you. We need to emphasize the role of godly husbands more and more, and fathers. We know we live in a fallen world. We need to support, the help, love single parents as well, step parents, adopted children. All these kind of children need our help, and they need us to love them as if they were who we would find perfect. Even though there might be some things there we'd say, oh, I don't know about that. You say to yourself, well, Brother Mike, none of that was ever available to me. Boy, sorry about that. But listen, God can even overcome that. He can. It's easier if there's a foundation laid and directions given. But God can overcome that because Jesus saves to the uttermost. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. And Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in a big, big mess that we ourselves created. We knew better, and we did it anyway. But Lord, I ask you to be with us as a church family and as a people. Lord, help us to help each other be the kind of parents that we need to be, grandparents that we need to be, people of God that we need to be, that the children and the youth, they come here, they might be reflective that something's going on over there. It is kind of special. Make it special, Lord, for them. Make it special. And then, Lord, as we move in this society we live in, more and more and more every day, biblical foundations and principles for life are being attacked. And maybe the greatest one to be attacked is the home. It's the family. It's the children. Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to be intelligent. Help us, Lord, to defend those values. Because it may not be to our detriment, but it will be to the next generation if we don't defend those values. Lord, even today, even here today, even with this rambling wreck of a message, Lord, if there's decisions to be made for you openly and publicly, pray, Father God, that you would work in those lives and speak to their hearts. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you have something open, this altar is open to you.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand.
Attention this morning.